This morning, maybe you are a little bit amazed, because for what we see in the Bible, Eve is a blemish kind of person. He is a perfect one, right? Because that time is not yet seen. So it says that I once lived in a beautiful garden, birds sang in the trees and the flowers of the rainbow and a wonderful color bloom for the enjoyment. Food was readily available in the form of fruit and trees in the garden, where the animals are living in the garden too. God gave me lovely land in which to live and ask for nothing from me but be obedience. He walks with me and talks with me. I share the garden with my husband, but it was so large it seems that if I were mine alone. Where I went, I felt God's presence. I felt safe. Cool breeze blew through the trees. The soft cooing of the birds and the rustle of the grass as animal moves through them gave me the sense of peace. I love to pet the furry creature to talk with them and share with their enjoyment. I love the gaze of the clouds of the sky and dream it was the heaven. Then one day the strength and a radical idea was given to me to do something I have been told I shouldn't do. I thought about the idea for a long time. However, I caught in an entrancement. Then I did something that will never forever regret. That is the trap of the serpent to Eve. And that's the time that Eve was fallen. And my name is Eve, and I was learned that to obey the God's word is the best decision that I could ever make. Hoping that every one of us must be obedient in what God's promised to us and give the law that God has given unto us. Thank you for this simple message.
And Janice just came with us about 2 or 3 months ago, Janice? 2 months ago, yeah. And she's such a delight. And I love where when you think about Eve, how Eve went astray and how easy it is to get off to get on the wrong track. Our next one is going to be Esther, and that is Jane. Oh, there she is.
My name appears more than any other woman in the Bible. I am an orphan Jewish, reared by my cousin, Mordecai. I was born of a Jewish family of noble ascent and was taken into captivity when Nebuchadnezzar reduced Jerusalem to rubble. Now, some years later, I have risen to the position of queen here in this sumptuous palace of the Persian Empire. My predecessor was Queen Vashti, a woman of nobility and honor who had the courage to refuse an unjust command of the king. The king became so mad that he issued an order that her royal position be given to another, and this opened the way for me to be considered for the position. My cousin Mordecai brought me before the king, and I was probably the only one of the maidens assembled that worshiped the true God. The king did not know that I was a Jewess. I am told he chose me because he was able to show me off. Robes of gold and purple, lined with precious jewels, were given to me. But as time went on, I won both his confidence and his love. My position was allowed me to play a life-saving role for the lives of my people who had been threatened by an evil man with destruction. At the time when they were threatened, my cousin told me, "Who knoweth whether or not thou art come to the kingdom for such a time as this?" And after prayer and fasting, I went before the king, even though my life was in his hands. I could have been killed. I risked my life going because I was forbidden to go without his consent or his request. The result was the downfall of my enemy and a protection for my people. God had protected after much prayer and fasting. Through my Hebrew, though my Hebrew name was Hadassah, you know me by my Persian name, Esther. I have learned that by prayer and faith, God's people can be courageous for Him.
I often think how brave Esther is that she went before the king without being, and I know that they always had to put out there as a scepter. I can't pronounce that very good. So I was amazed when I read her story so many times is that, you know, that he actually put it out to her. And I thought, you know, that was such a time as this, that that's exactly where she was supposed to be at that time. So I'm very thankful for her also. Oh, I'm next. My name is Deborah. I'm a homemaker and a wife of an unknown man named Lepadon. I had responsibility of the keeper of the tabernacle lamps. I lived in a time of great trouble. We had been oppressed for many years by the king of Canaan. Our vineyards were destroyed, our women dishonored, and our children slain. Many of my people had turned to worship of idols. I can't explain to you quite how it happened in the land where women are rarely leaders, but I became a judge. War was upon us. The enemy had caused such fear that the men of Israel faltered in their leadership. I felt a call to rise up against such fear and complacency. In my heart, I carried the great hope that God would come to my people's rescue if we would only honor him. As a judge and prophetess, I summoned Barak, one of the Israel's most capable military men, from his home in Keresh. Together, we worked out a plan for action against the enemy. I wasn't afraid of the enemy. I reminded Barak that as God had brought deliverance in the past, I saw no reason not to believe that he wouldn't do it again. Barak summoned 10,000 men, none well armed and none riding in chariots. We went forward. We pushed on, believing in the divine providential aid. Through miraculous ways and means, God gave the enemies of Israel in our hands and deliverance in the land. My name is Deborah. I have learned that God needs faithful, courageous ones to stand in times of difficulty and to march with God in victory. And I know each and every one of us that I'm sure that we've all went through things wondering that we would never get past it, but we've got past it with God's help. Our next woman of the Bible is Dorcas, and that's Justina.
I lived in the port city of Joppa, about 35 miles northwest of Jerusalem. It's an important Christian center at this time. The new faith is spreading from Jerusalem across the Mediterranean. Like most houses in my neighborhood, I have a large roof guest chamber reached by an outer stairway. Sometimes I go up there myself, and when I do, I look out at Joppa's needy people, wandering up and down the beach, searching for rags swept in by the waters of the sea. I have great compassion for the widows and the fatherless, seeing how so many were forced to wear ill-fitting rags. I began to see what I could do for them. I'm not wealthy, but I do have money, and I could have given coins to the poor, but it seemed better to me to give of myself. I have a talent for sewing. I began to make cloaks and robes, tunics, and other wearing apparel for the poverty-stricken. It was refreshing to see how people's attitudes changed when they received my simple but attractive new garments. They went away renewed in spirit. There seemed to be no end to the needs, and I rose early each day to sew. Time went by, and one day I suddenly became very ill. Now, I can only tell you this part based on what my friends have told me. Like I said, I was seized with illness, and death came suddenly. Those whom I had befriended came to my house and prepared my body for burial. Some in the group knew that Peter and other apostles were performing miracles, and a few had faith that I could be raised from the dead. They sent two men over to Lydia, where Peter had gone to preach, asking him to travel the 10 miles to my home and raise me from the dead. Oh, such faith! Peter listened to them, left his preaching at Lydia, and hurried on foot to my house. He dismissed the people who stood around my body weeping and told them he would pray. After a short while, he was heard to say, "Tabitha, arise." I remember that I opened my eyes and saw Peter and sat up. I was presented alive to the church members again. Tabitha is my Aramaic name. In Greek, I am called Dorcas. I have learned by experience that each member of God's family has a talent that can be used to do service for the Lord.
And that is so true. Each and every one has a talent to do. I thought about how far they had to travel back then, 10 miles. How fast could we go today in 10 miles? But how long did it take those people back then to travel? Our next is Ruth, and that is Leah.
I faced an uncertain future when Mahlon, my husband, died. So did Chilion's widow, Orpah, and our mother-in-law, Naomi. 10 years before, our husbands had left Bethlehem because of famine. They came to my homeland, the land of Moab, because of the fertility of our plains. Both Orpah and I were happy in our marriages to the sons of Naomi and Elimelech. Naomi seemed content, too, that is, until in her old age she lost both her sons as well as her husband. We knew she longed to return to the land of her birth, so we helped her prepare to go back to Bethlehem. The day came for Naomi's departure. We stood together to say goodbye, weeping. At that moment, I made a choice. It just seemed like the right thing for me to do, to go with my mother-in-law. I said to her, "Entreat me not to leave thee, or to return from following after thee. For whither thou goest, I will go, and whither thou lodgest, I will lodge. Thy people will be my people, and thy God my God. Where thou die, will I die, and there I will be buried." Living here in Bethlehem, I realized it would be up to me to support myself and my mother-in-law. There were few employment opportunities for women, but I followed the reapers, gathering up the fragments of grain which fell and were left behind for the poor. A day came when I worked in a field belonging to Boaz, a large landowner and a distant kinsman of Naomi's husband. He didn't know who I was at first, but he inquired about me, and then he showed me much kindness and protection. Naomi wanted more than that for me, and she was instrumental in bringing about my marriage to Boaz. We had a son who would become famous in Israel. I have been blessed more than I would ever have dreamed. My name is Ruth, and I have learned that faithfulness and loyalty, even in difficulty, are qualities that are blessed of God.
And I so love Ruth, too. I remember my husband's mother. She was my mom when my mom was living away, and I truly had a wonderful mother-in-law, and I thank God for. She died at the age of 60 years old of a brain aneurysm. But I've always remembered when I had my first son, I screeched and cried all the time because I didn't know I was going to be a good mom because I was after losing my first child. And she was there morning, noon, and night. And I thank God for our learned many things from her. Our next is going to be Mary, the mother of Jesus, and that's Amy.
I'm so excited. I've just become engaged to a wonderful man. His name is Joseph. My family and friends are all happy as well. Joseph is a carpenter, so he will be able to provide for us and make some wonderful furniture for our home. It was just at this time that I had a visit from an angel called Gabriel, sent from God. He said, "Greetings, favored one. The Lord is with you." I was really frightened and didn't know what to make of this. Gabriel then went on to tell me that I would conceive and have a child and that his name would be called Jesus. He said that the Holy Spirit would come upon me and that the power of the Most High would overshadow me, and the child will be called the Son of God. I said to Gabriel, "Here am I, the servant of the Lord. Let it be with me according to your word." I went to tell Joseph the news, and shortly after, he also had a visit from an angel who told him that the child conceived in me was from the Holy Spirit and would be the Savior. Just about the time for my baby to be born, the governor of Syria said we all had to register our names. We had to go back to Bethlehem. To do this, we tried to find a nice hotel to have the baby, but because everyone was there, the only place left was the stable. So that's where I had my baby, in a stable with all the animals watching. I watched my baby grow up. I saw him perform miracles and healings, and I heard him teach and preach about the kingdom of God. I then had to watch as he was crucified on the cross. What pain was suffered. But yet what joy to be chosen for such a responsibility as birthing and raising the Son of God. My name is Mary. I was the mother of Jesus. I have learned that when one is humble before God and available for him, he will use you to do marvelous and wonderful things to accomplish his great plan.
And as the season is approaching, I keep on thinking about we end up rushing all the time. But if we would actually stop to think that Christmas truly is about the birth of Christ, that he came into this world to be for us. And also, I keep on thinking when I read about the story of Jesus, is that remember where he was born to. He was born, and it wasn't, like I remember people saying, it wasn't this beautiful palace. And if any of us knew, like, who have farms or barns, we know that it wasn't a great-smelling place. But he came to be with us, and I'm so thankful to him. The next one we have is Rebecca, and that's Pastor Jason's wife, Elizabeth.
I was married for 20 years before I was able to have children. During that time, my husband stayed with me and supported me. He was always being faithful to me. I was chosen to be the wife of Isaac after God worked in miracle. I had given water to his father's servants, camels, and fulfilled the very thing he had asked God to give him as he searched for a wife for Isaac. Things moved very quickly after that. My family and I where he gave expensive gifts, and I was asked to become the wife of Isaac, Abraham's son. My family asked me, "Will you go with his men?" I respond, "Without doubt, I will go." Quickly, I prepared my things and began to travel with the men. Along with my nurse and my servants on our camels. My family sent me away with words and blessing. I became Isaac's wife. After 20 years, God showed favor to me, opened my womb, and I was expecting a child. Actually, I gave birth to twins boy. One of my sons loved adventures, and the other was calm and peaceful boy. Some years after, later in my life, I participate in a deception with my younger son. I believed that God had promised Jacob the blessing, but Isaac was ready to give the blessing to his brother. I helped Jacob trick his father, the man I loved, to receive the birthright blessing. Anger and jealousy filled my other son's heart, and I was afraid for Jacob's safety. My husband and I sent him away to find a wife in my homeland. I have never seen my precious boy since that day. My name is Rebecca. I have learned that the safest and happiest way to live is to do things God's way and wait for him to fulfill his promises in his time.
I often think of how heartbroken Rebecca is that day when her sons had the choices that she made. I'm also very thankful because it makes us as mothers to realize that not all the time we make the right choices, and sometimes we think what we think that is right ends up not being right, but then God truly forgives us for it. Our next is Eunice, and this is Rowena.
I always pictured myself being the Bible character, Martha. And many times with Martha, I always wished I could have been Mary at the feet of Jesus. But I stand before you today very proud because I feel, as Eunice, what a noble thing that I have done. I am Jewish and a widow. My husband was Greek. He died when our son Timothy was very young. My mother opened her home to me and my son, and we lived in Lystra, a city in the Roman province of Galatia. I worked whenever I could find employment, just as all others did in my situation. Some women gleaned the fields, others worked the textile business or wove tents. When I was away from home, my mother would care for Timothy. She and I shared the belief and instructed him in the stories of the books of the law and the prophets. We gave him the opportunity to learn the knowledge of the great judges and the prophets and to be exposed to the wisdom of the Psalms and the Proverbs. Then there came a time when we learned Christianity. The Apostle Paul had made several missionary journeys, and it was on his first journey that he came to our city and introduced us to the power of God through Jesus Christ. My mother and I accepted in faith, and in turn we instructed Timothy in this new understanding. A few years later, Paul returned to Lystra and found Timothy to be a young man of good reputation. Timothy, though a youth and of teenage years, was still quite too young to leave home, but he wanted to accompany Paul. Paul also wanted Timothy to journey with him. Since that time, Timothy has traveled in the name of Christ through Galatia, Troas, Philippi, and to Thessalonica and Berea. And Paul has bestowed upon him the greatest of all compliments, calling him my dearly beloved son. Later, when Paul wrote to Timothy, he commended my boy's sincere faith. Paul wrote that he recognized that such a sincere faith was a quality of my mother, Lois, and had also grown in me. Together, we passed that legacy of faith on to my son. My name is Eunice, and I have learned that to be faithful in the task of motherhood, despite its challenges, brings some of the greatest rewards and blessing when you see your children walk in the ways of the Lord.
And can you remember when you were a child, when you were taught your prayers? The saddest thing about it, there's an awful lot of children today don't know their prayers. And I work in school, and a lot of children don't even know what Christmas is anymore or Easter. And I pray that we'll continue to pray for our schools and our children. And our next one is Solomon, and this is by Stephanie.
Morning, everybody. I am the wife of Zebedee, a fisherman and a man of some substance, with hired servants to tend to duties with his fishing boats. Our home is at Bethsaida, on the shore of the Sea of Galilee. We have two sons who were also fishermen. Zebedee raised no objection when James and John chose to become disciples of Jesus, nor did I. Nor am I sorry now, looking back. James, our older son, after the crucifixion, he was with the other disciples in Galilee and in Jerusalem. He remained a faithful disciple. Sadly, his life ended by the sword at the hands of Herod Agrippa. With his own blood, James sealed his testimony to Jesus Christ. John was with Jesus from the beginning. He attended the preaching of the Baptist at the Jordan and came with Jesus to Galilee. He was with him at the wedding in Cana and at the raising of Jairus' daughter and at the transfiguration. Along with James, John was always with Jesus, a part of the inner circle of Jesus' closest followers. In the latter days of Jesus' ministry, my sons and I were overly ambitious. It seemed justified for us to approach Jesus with a special request. After all, they were spending all of their time with him while he preached and healed the sick. And I was among the women who traveled with him in support of his ministry. Ambition? Yes. I was overzealous, and perhaps my sons were too. They joined me publicly when we went to Jesus with our request. They knelt before him, and I said to him, "Grant that these my two sons may sit, one at the right and one on the left hand in thy kingdom." But Jesus rebuked me. "To sit on my right hand and on my left is not mine to give, but it shall be given to them for whom it is prepared of my Father." The other 10 disciples were angry with James and John for having made such a request to Jesus. Jesus shared with us all, "Whoever wishes to be great among you must be your servant, and whoever wishes to be first among you must be your slave, just as the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve, and to give his life ransom for many." And indeed, that's what Jesus did. I was in the group of women who watched the crucifixion from a distance. And I was with the women who went to the sepulchre with spices on resurrection morning. My name is Simone Salmi, and I have learned that true spiritual greatness is not a thing to be earned by occupying positions, but rather gained through humble sacrifice and service. Amen.
As we clue up on our women of the Bible, it gives each and every one of us hope of what the Lord would want us to do. And I always say, like, when I go through different trials, and I know I'm sure all of us are like it here, that I had a friend a while ago, she was going through a really rough time with one of her children. I said, you know something? If you go to Genesis, the first family had problems. And that's what gives us the strength when we read God's word and we realize that we will have problems while we're on this earth. I know that, like I said, the Christmas season is coming up, and you'll see a lot of ill-tempered people, but that's what it's all about. I just pray that we will be kind and gentle, and also I always think about when we go to store, everywhere we go, we don't know what that person, like some people come and say, well, I can't believe this person did this, this, or this, this. But I always say, you don't know what that person just heard before they left home. You don't know the trial that they just went through. Like I was to church last Sabbath, and when I left church last Sabbath, 3 o'clock, I got a phone call that one of my really good friend's husband died. And I was floored. I was just heartbroken. And she said, Debbie, it's so fast how life can be taken away from each and every one of us. May God bless each and every you women and men. I'm not going to leave them out. And I pray that this year you'll be one of your biggest, most beautiful blessings of this whole year. God has given me grace and has given you grace, and we're to give others grace.